I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Shall we pray together? Lord, we do thank thee today for the opportunity to gather around the precious word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we're here with health. We have gathered here safely. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the liberty, the freedom to be able to meet around the open Bible. We ask now that thou wilt speak to all of our hearts, and may the blessed Spirit of God apply the word with great power. Lord, grant that thy word will warm our hearts, and that thy presence will cause that heartburn that the disciples on the Emmaus Road experienced when they said, "Did not our heart burn within us?" While he walked with us, while he talked with us, while he opened the scriptures. Lord, grant that this day we may know that sweet experience of the Lord coming in the midst. We commit our way to thee. We commit ourselves to thee. We commit this time of meditation to thee. We ask, Lord, that thou will come and visit all of our hearts. We ask in the Savior's precious name. Amen. I want to look at this request that the spouse makes in verse 11. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my love. Now, oftentimes through the scripture, the Lord condescends to our level of understanding. He takes earthly metaphors and he applies them to spiritual truths, spiritual lessons, or maybe it would be better to put it another way. The Lord takes spiritual truth and he presents them in earthly circumstances or earthly illustrations. The reason why we have all these objects round about us is because it is the Lord's way of describing, illustrating spiritual truth to us. And here in the verse number 12 of the chapter, we have one of those metaphors used. It's the church of Jesus Christ likened to the vineyard. And the spouse says, let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. And it's not the first time in the scriptures that this analogy, this similarity has been used, this metaphor. If you turn back to Psalm number 80, just turn back a few pages in the Old Testament, Psalm number 80, and verse number 11, we read here, or verse 8, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs onto the sea and her branches onto the river. Look at verse 14. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Notice how the metaphor is used. The church is being likened to a vineyard. In this case, it is a reference to the nation of Israel. How the Lord brought them out of Egypt and planted them in the promised land. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 5, the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah. And again, I want you to see this analogy being used in reference to the church. Chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Come down to verse 7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. You see how the analogy is used, how the church is likened to the vineyard. And then you remember on the eve of the Lord's death, as he led his disciples out towards the Garden of Gethsemane, he passed the great golden gate of the temple that had that golden image of the vine upon it, and the Lord stopped on that moonlit evening and he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he likens his disciples once more. He likens his church to the vineyard. Many, many times the Lord condescends to use earthly metaphors to help us understand the spiritual truth that he is teaching. And when we come to this chapter in the Song of Solomon, the picture is used once more. It's used yet again of the church. The vine here is a picture of the church. It's a picture of the hearts of God's people. And the Lord is setting forth his desire to examine, his desire to look into the condition and the growth of the heart in grace. But if you look further at the chapter, it's not only the Lord's desire that is in view, but it is the desire expressed by the church. And that's the thought that captured my heart. In verse 11, it is the spouse who is speaking, and she says, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear. And you'll notice it is the spouse who is speaking now. And she's indicating this desire to see how the vine is doing, to see if the vine is flourishing, to see if those grapes are coming on, if they are ripening. She has the desire herself to see if the vineyard is flourishing. And what is the lesson for us? What is the spiritual application? These words reveal the concern and the desire that every believer ought to have concerning our own spiritual state, concerning the spiritual condition of our heart. Is the vine flourishing? Is the vine flourishing? And that opens up something that is most instructive, because what we find here is an example of what the Scripture commands. Heart examination is exhorted in the Bible. It is commanded in the Scripture. This desire that the spouse expresses to examine the state of the vine is a reminder of the exhortations given to the Lord's people to examine our hearts. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and remember that he is writing to the church. This is to the church that met in the city of Corinth. And he says to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And he's touching here now upon this requirement of examining our heart. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, and how important that is to know how it is with our soul, to know how we stand with the Lord and before the Lord. Is it well? Am I in the faith? Examine yourselves to see whether ye be in the faith. That do you have that saving faith in Jesus Christ, in union with him? That's the first point of examination. We must ask ourselves the question, what is the basis of my faith? What am I resting upon for my salvation? It's very possible, and I believe Paul is making this exhortation because he knew the possibility of people being found in the congregation of believers and perhaps thinking to themselves that all is well, and yet their faith was not a true scriptural, spiritual, saving faith. And so he says, examine yourselves. It's very possible for one to be in the company of the Lord's people, to be assembled with the congregation of the saints, and to think that all is well, when in reality it is not. There is a false foundation. And so Paul is saying here, examine yourselves. Look to the vine to see if it is a true vine indeed. Is the heart right with God? Am I in union with Jesus Christ? We need to examine ourselves. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Next Lord's Day, we will have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper for the Lord's people. The Lord has commanded us to remember his death in this way. He has taken the emblems of the bread and the grape juice that represent and signify his death, and it is that upon which our faith must rest alone. The finished work of Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if a person is not resting on that finished work alone, then that person can have no assurance of eternal life. It is only when we are resting upon the finished work. My sins deserve eternal death, but Jesus died for me. That's my hope. That's my hope for eternity. And upon that we rest by faith. And the Lord says to his people that we must always keep in mind his death. He has appointed this ordinance for his people, that we should remember his death. And he says, the Apostle Paul says in verse 28, 1 Corinthians 11, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. What he's doing there is to highlight the personal responsibility. It is the responsibility of each person, of each individual, to obey the Lord's command, to observe the Lord's table. And as we come to observe that ordinance, we must examine ourselves as to the motive of our heart and the manner in which we come to the table. We're coming to the table to remember the Lord's death, to remember what he has done for us, and to worship him in the observance of that supper. Turn over to 2 John, the second letter of John in verse 8. I'm just highlighting today how the scripture emphasizes this requirement of heart examination. Let us see if the vine flourish. There's a desire on the part of the spouse to examine the condition of the vineyard, to examine the vine and the branches and the grapes, to make sure that all is well. And what I'm saying today is that should be our desire, to examine ourselves, to examine our own hearts. Second letter of John, In the verse number 8, the Apostle John says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And this time, the thought here of examination has to do with the setting or the context of the doctrine of Christ. And in the setting, there had been those who had arisen who denied the truth of the gospel. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And in that setting, Paul is saying, examine yourself just to make sure that your understanding of the Scriptures is clear and firm, that you haven't imbibed or entertained any idea, any teaching that would be contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Do you see how the Scripture makes this exhortation? Examine yourselves. Look to yourselves. It's reflected here in the language of the spouse. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear. We need this heart examination, this examination of our own hearts, our own spiritual condition. But notice in the second place, this heart examination ought to be detailed. It was in the case of the spouse. Notice how detailed she is in her appeal to the Lord. She says, let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. She's not seeking just a general view of the garden, but she's particular. And she gives special attention to each part. She's looking at the vine, she's looking at the grapes, she's looking at the pomegranates. She's giving detail to this. And I believe that sets before us how we ought to look at ourselves, how we ought to examine our own hearts, not in a vague, general kind of inspection, but one that's detailed. One that looks at the various graces. What about my faith? We are to live by faith. But how is it with my faith? Do I trust God as I ought? Do I trust God in everything, for everything? How is it with my faith? Could it be that doubt and unbelief has taken a greater hold and faith somehow has become smothered and weakened? There must be this detailed examination. What about our love for the Lord? How is it with our love for the Lord? Is it flourishing? Is it vibrant? Is it strong? Is it healthy? You remember how the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. The Lord was examining and he said, yes, there's love there, but it's not like it used to be. Their love for me is not what it used to be. There's still love there. Yes, they still love me, but it's not as strong, it's not as vibrant as it used to be. You see this thought here of detailed examining? What about our knowledge? The Bible talks about growing in knowledge, in the knowledge of the Lord. Are we growing? Is there growth in our knowledge? Can we say today, I know more about the Lord today than I did 10 years ago or when I first was saved? My knowledge is growing. We've got to look at the vineyard. What about prayer? Men ought always to pray. It is that special and blessed grace that the Lord gives to us whereby we can have communion with Him. How is our prayer life? How is our meditation of the Word of God? This inward examination. Let us see if the vine flourish. But notice something else here. Notice her priority, her sense of priority. She says, let us get up early to the vineyard. This is the first thing that she wanted to know. The state of the vine. It was placed before all other things, all other demands, all other duties. This is the most important. This is the priority. And is it not so with our heart, with our spiritual condition, with our walk with God? Is it not of paramount importance? As it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. If the physical heart is not healthy, if the spiritual heart has something wrong with it, then it will affect the whole body, every organ. And what is true in the physical is true in the spiritual heart. If it's not flourishing, if it's not healthy, if there's a problem, it will affect the rest of life. You think of a wheel. And the wheel has a hub at its center and all the different spokes go out to the circumference of the wheel. And if that hub is in any way damaged, it will affect the motion of the wheel, the movement of the wheel. It will affect the spokes. That's something like the heart. The heart is the central, the spiritual heart is central to every aspect of life. And if the heart is not functioning right, if the spiritual heart is not in a good condition, then it's going to affect all the other spokes of our life, our family, our work, our business, all those different things. The heart is the most important. Maintaining that spiritual condition, that spiritual relationship with the Lord, fellowship with Him. You see how the spouse says, let us get up early. In other words, this is my priority, to make sure that the vine is flourishing. Let us get up early. But does that not also suggest a difficulty in this work? She says, let us get up. And I think that would indicate a degree of effort that needs to be exerted in this task. We must rise up in order to examine the vine. Self-examination or heart examination is an uphill work. It's by no means a pleasant task. It's one that you will face a lot of complaint and a lot of opposition from in relation to the flesh. The flesh will recoil and it will cry out and it will say, let well alone. You're comfortable. You have a hope that gives you much comfort. Let alone. Let's not have any of this heart examination. But the progression and the growth of grace in our hearts is never obtained easily. Sometimes the Lord has to take the pruning knife and He has to purge what is barren in order that it might bring forth more fruit. And I think the spouse here is recognizing something of the difficulty when she says, let us get up early. Let us get up early to the vineyards. But notice the final point here, and it's the most important. Notice the use of the plural. She says, let us. And she's speaking to her beloved. And it's vital to grasp that. Because what that's emphasizing to us is that heart examination, while it is required in Scripture, while it is necessary, it must never be done without the Lord, without the Savior. She says here, let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear. She's including the Lord in this task. And if we are to know the condition, the true spiritual condition of our hearts, then we need the Lord's assistance. Because it's only the Lord who can give us a true assessment. Often we will fall prey to our own deceptive heart. Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's very deceitful. That old nature still within. And we can fall prey to that. The church at Laodicea did. They imagined that everything was well. But the Lord's assessment was very different. We need to say, Lord, come with me in this work of heart examination. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. We need the Lord in this work. Because only the Lord can deliver us from despair. Now, I have known believers, Christians, I have looked upon them as true Christians, and they have engaged upon this work of heart examination. And you know who they've brought instead of the Lord? They've brought Moses. They've taken Moses to the vineyard. They've brought Moses and they've examined their heart in light of the law. And they've seen their imperfection. And they lament. And you know what's happened? They've sunk down into despair. And that will always happen if you engage in heart examination without the Lord present. You can bring Moses, but you'll only sink in despair. You'll be utterly discouraged and downcast, and you'll be miserable. But notice what she does. She says, let us get up early to the vineyards. She's bringing the Lord, her beloved, with her. It is He who will give a true assessment of the true condition. But it's also He who will prevent the heart sinking into despair. And when we look to this task of examining our own heart and examining ourselves, we must always examine our heart in Christ. In light of His righteousness imputed to us, in light of His blood shed to make atonement for our sins, the believer is justified in Him and therefore complete in Him. And that progression of grace is accomplished only by the Lord. And it's only the Lord who can remedy the heart. If we examine ourselves and we find something amiss, if we say, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief, and we acknowledge that we struggle with doubt and we struggle with unbelief, or perhaps some other snare, when we examine ourselves, it's only the Lord can remedy that problem. If there's worry and agitating care, if we're prone to that particular snare, it's only the Lord who can remedy that. Believers who examine themselves without a view to the Lord, without a view to Christ, will find things to lament over. And then what they try to do, they try to remedy the situation in their own strength. And it only leads to failure. I thought of this text, I thought of the situation And I thought to myself, what if the spouse went out that morning with her beloved and they're looking over the vineyard? What if they saw one part of the vine that was withered and wasn't flourishing? What would the response be? And then I applied it in this setting of heart examination. If we examine ourselves and we find something not right, something amiss, what do we do? We look to the one who is the great husbandman. We look to the Lord. And we ask the Lord to exercise His grace, to work by His grace in our hearts, to cause the heart to flourish, to cause the spiritual condition to grow and to flourish. Looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Perhaps we should just look at that verse in Hebrews. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And you see here in the first verse, he talks about weights and sins. And that's very interesting because there's a difference there. He is this picture of the great race being run. And a runner is not going to engage in that race if he has a whole lot of weights to weigh him down. It's going to slow him down. And Paul says in verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And what he's saying there now is, yes, there is sin. There's the problem of sin, which is disobedience and transgression of God's law. But there are also weights. They're not sin. They're not wrong in themselves. But they can become a hindrance to us. And what he's emphasizing here is, in this spiritual race that is before him, as he sees these potential problems, the answer is not to take it upon himself. Verse 2 is a continuation of the same sentence. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking. And that participle there is indicating something that's ongoing, constantly. Looking to the Lord, constantly looking to Him. That's the great secret. We must be concerned about the condition of our own heart. Am I flourishing? Am I growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ? Are those spiritual graces blossoming? Is there advancement? But that work must only and ever be undertaken with the help of the Lord. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. Let us. She's recognizing that the source of a flourishing vineyard is found in her beloved. And the source of a spiritual heart, a spiritual condition that is flourishing, growing in grace, overcoming the world and sin, the source of a flourishing spiritual condition is found alone in the Lord. It's the Lord alone. If we try to do it ourselves, then we will fail and we will be miserable. But when we bring the Lord with us along this journey, and we have the Lord examine our hearts, then the Lord, as the great husbandman, will tend to the vine that He has planted, and the Lord will cause that spiritual fruitfulness. Let's turn in closing to our hymn books, and we will sing as our closing hymn. We'll sing number 644. 644.